First Baptist Church of Redmond, February 28, 2021, Mark chapter 15, 6 hours.
Join me in reading Mark 15, 25 through 26. Now it was the third hour when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." You may be seated.
Sermon title from last week was 15 hours. Because if you total the time when Jesus began the Last Supper until the conclusion of his trials, it's about 15 hours. 6 hours was the time that Jesus gave his life for us. Here's a depiction from Mel Gibson's movie picturing the cross. I want to settle the timing first. Now it was the third hour when they crucified him. Jewish time reckoning is used in Mark. 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. was how the Jews counted time. So 6 a.m. was their midnight. 9 a.m. would have been the third hour. Noon would have been the sixth hour. 3 p.m. would have been the ninth hour. So if it was the third hour when they crucified him, what time was it? 9 a.m. There are significant events that happened at 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. The rest of the time passed because Jesus was suffering for us. John's gospel seems to use Roman time like our times. The sixth hour was 6 a.m. So that's contributing to the confusion because John used Roman time like us, but Mark used Jewish time. Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Use your imagination. Can you see a skull in this picture? There are many places that claim to be where Jesus was crucified. But I think that in the hilltop region, didn't back up, but there was a skull figure and a little bit over a cliff. I think Jesus was crucified. Golgotha is the Aramaic form of the Hebrew word meaning skull. Calvary is derived from the word using the Latin Vulgate translation, Calvaria, which means skull, likely describing the shape of the place. There's only one place in the environments of Jerusalem that has this image. So I'm confident to say, I've never been there to Jerusalem, but I'm confident that this place is the hill where Jesus' crucifixion took place. Romans used various methods to crucify an individual. Most likely, Jesus was only lifted about 2 feet off the ground. I've got some details that I'll describe to you, but when you see Jesus lifted up 6-8 feet, this was not traditional. This was not usual. Typically, they're raised 2 or 3 feet off the ground. It was a Latin cross. To distinguish from a pole where his hands would have been affixed to the side of the pole and his feet affixed to the front of the pole, a Latin cross was the traditional cross we think of. The superscription over his head was in different languages, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. You heard Daniel reading, the King of the Jews. He was offered wine mingled with myrrh. This was designed to be a drug. It would, the wine mixed with myrrh, he was offered something different the second time. The wine mingled with myrrh was designed to deaden the pain, to make the time pass, and he denied it. In self-giving, there was no self-sparing. Jesus felt every sensation of crucifixion. Again, from Mel Gibson's movie. I don't know how a mother could observe her son being tortured. It's tough enough when you go to the hospital and experience. I once was praying for a 99-year-old woman, and her family joined hands. I was in a circle, and I prayed for about a minute and a half. And when I said amen, a nurse was holding her hand as part of the circle, and she said, "And she's left us now. She died when I was praying." I didn't think about it at the time, but it affected me. Jesus died in the presence of his mother and friends. Now it was out about the third hour when they crucified him. To repeat, what time would we say it was? 9 a.m. People seem to only conceive a power that would act in its own self-interest. Jesus' sacrificial death for us was necessary, important, but it shows us how much he cares for us, how much he wants to get involved on our behalf. And if you'll die for somebody, you'll easily live for somebody. Jesus died for us on our behalf because we needed him to. He didn't earn our salvation by snapping his fingers or by saying a magical incantation, but he suffered. I want to read him, Mark 15:24 and following. And they crucified him and divided up his garments among themselves, casting lots for them to decide what each man would take. This was prophesied. Now it was the third hour when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And they crucified two rebels, one at his right hand and one on his left. Those passing by were hurling abuse at him, shaking their heads, mocking, and saying, "Ha! You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes, were mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him were also insulting him. Do you ever have to put up with teasing, verbal abuse, serious abuse? People who are speaking meaning to insult you, meaning to criticize you. They're serious. Jesus endured those and more. When the sixth hour came, all the Gospels mark this hour's arrival. What time is it now? 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. are the only periods of time of note. It seems to intend to mark Jesus suffering on the cross in two distinct periods of 3 hours each. Darkness came suddenly, lasting until the ninth hour, seen as supernatural, unusual. If I can say it this way, Jesus suffered from 9 until noon in a much less intense way than he suffered from noon till 3 p.m. At the ninth hour, 3 p.m., much activity marked the first 3 hours of mentioned. No single event occurs in this last 3 hour section until it slows. The Lord's 7 words primarily occurred in this section, the 7 words of the cross. "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." The only one of the words, 7 last words preserved in 2 of the Gospels. They tended to be mutually exclusive, but "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani" is quoting the original language of the New Testament. Old Testament. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Both quote the original language and the translation because they were confused and they were not paying attention. Jesus' words were misinterpreted and misunderstood. When some of the bystanders heard him, they began to say, "Look, he is calling for," the name? Elijah, the 35th verse. This adds to the confusion and adds to his mocking because he's seen as calling on Elijah. I think that because of his suffering, he did not speak clearly, clearly enunciated, and not clearly understood. I am thirsty. John 19:28 is the quote. We see verse 36. And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink, saying, let us see if Elijah comes to take him down. Because they didn't understand and misheard Eloi, they understood he was calling for Elijah. They were mistaken, but it adds to the obfuscation of the general situation. Not the same drink offered now as earlier. I mentioned this. The earlier drink dulled the senses. Vinegar or sour wine, the drink of a field worker. If you're out working hard, harvesting crops, your boss would give you something to drink, number one, that instantly would take away your thirst. A vinegar-based sour wine. You drink a lot, a little bit of it, and were satisfied, but you didn't want to drink it more because you're drinking a vinegar-based drink. Do you like to drink vinegar-based drinks? No, but it was something wet. Being crucified, I read this many times. Being crucified produces a raging thirst. Because of the torture, you get thirsty. Someone took a read. I mentioned before that Christ was elevated 2 or 3 feet. Someone took a read. They say that what they're talking about is something 18 inches to 2 feet in length. They easily were able to reach his mouth. Took a reed, attached the sponge to it, and Jesus sucked it because his soul thirsty. Notice what the motivation for the one to give him a drink. I refer to it. Let us see if Elijah comes to take him down. He was being mocked from the pagan mouth of the pagan soldier who didn't believe Elijah was coming. He didn't ask Elijah to come, but the soldier wanted to see if he would come mockingly. But Jesus let out a loud cry and died. This finishes the words at the ninth hour in the afternoon. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This was a miracle that accompanied Jesus' death. The Bible mentions a couple miracles, not here, but different people who were dead, sat up, resurrected instantly from the power of the resurrection of Jesus, influenced numbers such as 500 people became alive again, miraculously, when Jesus died. At the moment of Christ's death, this curtain was suddenly sliced in two from top to bottom. This happened at 3 o'clock p.m., when priests must have been busy in the temple. they're preparing the evening sacrifice. The evening sacrifice occurred at 3 till 4:30. They saw it. The weave of the pattern was horizontal, not vertical weave. The temple's separation from the Holy of Holies to the Most Holy Place was a curtain, thick curtain. I've read a description of it. It was thick. I've read 4 to 6 inches in thickness. Wow, it was a significant fabric. The fabric didn't wear out. The fabric was not designed to wear out. But the veil in the temple separated. Cross fabric. Not through natural wear, but to signify the way to the most holy place was accessed. What happened must be regarded as a miracle. As to the symbolic significance, this is made clear by two considerations. First, it occurred exactly at the moment when Jesus died. Secondly, it is explained in Hebrews 10:19-20. Through the death of Christ symbolizes the way of the tearing of the curtain, the way into the Holy of Holies, that is heaven, is opened to all that take refuge in him. The centurion added, truly, this man was the Son of God. Who do you say that I am? What rejoicing in his presence when are banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened and the dark things shall be plain. What's that a picture of? Yeah. Mention the name of the virus. Coronavirus. Corona means crown. Crown. In the blog article, Dr. Timothy Tennant, president of Asbury Theological Seminary, makes a fascinating connection between the coronavirus and the season of Lent. The word corona has its origin in Latin and means crown. So the virus is called corona, because when viewed under electron microscopes, it actually looks like a thorny crown. When you read the gospel accounts of the events leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, the Roman soldiers mockingly placed a thorny crown on Jesus because of the accusation that he claimed to be king of the Jews. The thorny corona on Jesus' head was symbolic of his self-denial and sacrifice. It offers a dramatic picture of Jesus, the true king, who embraces our brokenness. While our world today is obsessed with the thorny-crowned virus, as Christians, let us be obsessed with our Savior, who wore a crown of thorns to give us eternal life.